Hey everybody, how you doing? Hey, listen up, I got a big announcement. Me and my friend Lexi Schlimmer of Hess Van Schlimmer Metalworks have recently teamed up for this year on November 24th, Riffs for Gifts. This will be a Toys for Tots charity rock show over at Pops in Sauget, Illinois, and we'll feature Outrun the Fall, The Poor, Steeples, Monk and the People, The Matching Shoe, and Silent Hollow. This will be a $10 donation at the door, or a $5 donation with a toy donation also. So we're going to try to raise a bunch of money and a bunch of toys for the kids, for the neighborhood, do a little good for the neighborhood. And I've heard a little rumor maybe that Santa Claus might be there, so that's really exciting. Can't wait to see you all out there. Again, November 24th, Riffs for Gifts over at Pops. More details will be coming soon, but do not miss this show. Biggest thing I've been a part of yet, and I'm so excited to see everybody. And it's going to be a great night for a great cause. See you all very soon. Thanks, everybody.
Hi, this is Lexi.
And Sid.
Of Hess Van Schlimmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlimmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlimmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
We tried.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up all kinds of delicious wine, whiskey, and local craft beers. Hey, swing by and visit them Tuesday through Saturday. They do live music a lot on the weekends. This coming up Thursday, October 18th, Phil and Carson from the Scandaleros. Friday, October 19th, Pat Liston. And Saturday, October 20th, the Bedlam Brothers. And I will be back out at Naked Vine on November 13th for my next Rock Paper Podcast singer-songwriter storytelling showcase with Maddie Shell, Nick Gussman, and Sean Kimball. So don't miss that show. You can find all this at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like a, it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hello.
We're
morning.
Mountain. And
you're
listening
to
Rock Paper
Podcast. The
and
the yes.
Hey everyone, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Morning Mountain. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Hey.
We got a lot to catch up on. I was looking at it. It's been almost a year. It's been a little while since we last talked.
So October of last year, something like that.
Yeah. You guys want to go around the mic again and introduce yourself for everybody, though, for those listening?
Sure. I'm Vince. I sing lead vocals and play the rhythm guitar.
I'm Chris. I play bass.
I'm Kevin. I play percussion.
I'm Nick. I play percussion.
And I'm Travis, and I play guitar.
Yeah, man, this is cool. I'm glad to be back. Like I said, we got a lot of things happening. We got a brand new album. We got a big release party.
Yeah, we mentioned it last time.
Yeah.
When's the last? It still hasn't happened.
A year in the
middle.
Well, we did do it last time. It was a lot of fun because we did do some live acoustic jams from the living room.
Yeah.
But I've done some of these, but like, I was really proud of how those turned out. Like for what we had going on for just a one mic in there. Like I thought
it was cool.
Yeah,
I thought they turned out real nice.
Yeah, so. Very spur of the moment.
Yeah,
it was very spur of the moment. But didn't we like practice like 20 minutes before?
Yeah, we ran through.
Like all right, let's do some shit, and then just got like you just had just a snare drum and a hi hat, right?
Yeah,
it was
definitely
a ride. Yeah, I think I played with brushes as well.
Yeah, you played with the bead on the ride.
The bead, sizzle.
Yeah, we just made like a quick adaptation to like acoustic.
It was cool though.
Last minute.
Yeah.
Very fun.
That was
turned out good.
Yeah, definitely. But it's fun to now like to have those, these live acoustic versions, and now to compare that to what we have now as the on the album. You know, we have so I like that kind of stuff. I like just the kind of progression of music and stuff, and like, you know, maybe those alternative versions and different things, B-sides and different stuff, you know, so.
Right.
Definitely.
But,
on deluxe edition.
Yeah. All right. let's get right into this brand new record. Do we have a name for it, or is it just
it's self-titled? It's
self-titled. Yeah.
That's why we decided to be lazy on it, because we couldn't.
Okay. So we got, this will be the debut, 8 tracks, right?
Yep.
And, we're gonna sneak peek a couple of tunes for you today on this episode, but you can join us November 2nd over at Foam, and that'll be the big release party.
Yes, sir. Big old party.
Yeah, we got the Randy's on it for right now. We're looking for one more person to join on the bill, but we'll be selling our new record, some T-shirts. We got some pens going on.
The Randys are an excellent band. By
they
way.
Are. They're so good.
Yeah, we played them.
Perfect fit
ago.
For us too. Like it's a female frontman band or fronted band. Front woman band. I don't know. But yeah. Anyway. Yeah. And yeah. They're all fantastic. They're very similar in style of music. Just kind of super indie, little folky. Little folky, but yeah, they're awesome. They're actually from, what are they from? Somewhere in Illinois.
I think Illinois and Indiana.
Oh yeah, on the cusp of Indiana and Illinois. I can't remember what the city actually is. Sorry guys, if you're listening. But yeah, we got them on the bill, and hopefully we can find one more person to close out the show while we can, you know, mingle and sell some stuff.
I think that's that's always I always felt like that was a fun way to do it, do the release party, because a lot of times people headline or close out their own show or whatever, but I always thought that was cool when I see, and that's probably how I would want to do it if I was in your position, was like just get a band that I love to watch and have them,
right.
You know, that way I can actually watch their show while I'm hanging out, and then you guys can start drinking or whatever, you don't have
exactly.
to worry about,
Yeah.
You can actually
one person to open for us, and then which I believe the Randy said that they actually wanted to open for us, and then whoever wants to close, but yeah, like, you know, you play right in the middle, right where prime time is, you know, people are trickling in, trickling out, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, then you can just kind of sit back, drink a few beers, you know, mingle with everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, with the people that actually decided to show up to your show, you know, yeah. Make them feel at home.
Right. Well, so this has kind of been quite a while in the making, but the work's paid off. We got, like I said, physical copies. This will be the only place to purchase it, right? We're not going to put it on online at for now.
So yeah, if you guys want a record, get a hold of us directly,
right.
Because it'll eventually be on the internet, but we're gonna wait a few months.
But yeah, gotta get to the party and get yourself one, right?
Get to the people that actually want a physical copy and, you know, get a part of the experience of what Morning Mountain is, I suppose.
Yeah. So. Well, let's talk about some of these tracks. Let's start with I Don't Need It. This appears as track 2.
Yeah.
You guys have anything want to add around I Don't Need It?
It started out with we're at my old studio house. Not a studio apartment, studio house. It was a little tiny, we called it the Love Shack, and
very
that was where, yeah, that was where this entire group started, like, actually started. Nick was just playing a, like, it was just me and him, I think, that day, and we were just screwing around, just playing some stuff, and he
a
played
full drum
this
kit and an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, that was it at the time.
Strange setup.
But yeah, he started playing this beat, and it was just like super groovy and really, I don't know, a lot of hi-hat work. It was just really cool, and I was just like, dude, keep doing that for a minute. I'm going to find something to play with it. And then I did, and it just kind of grew into this very vampy song. Like, really, it's kind of the same thing over and over again, but really atmospheric and really pretty song.
Yeah.
Drinking and driving, don't do that, by the way.
Yep. That's, if you learn anything from this, that's the message you're going with.
Exactly. Yeah, don't do that. Okay.
Call an Uber.
Yep.
Exactly, there you go.
you guys recorded this all in-house, right?
Right here.
We did. Yeah. Right, in that same spot, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is this, so how was that process, you guys?
Well, we got Chris over here.
Yeah,
Chris is our mastermind. An amazing producer. Really good. Oh yeah. He's the shit. Definitely best recordings I've heard that I've ever recorded, at least. And he's, you know, definitely knows how to mix. Definitely knows how to actually produce. Give his input on everything. So always a go-to. Plus, he's, you know, actually in the band, so it makes it a little bit easier, but yeah, he's fantastic. So
yeah, it's fun too, because we kind of get to record it at our own pace and kind of hang out, and you know, we're kind of doing it on our own time too, so you know, it's basically like getting together, hanging out, and jamming pretty much.
Yeah, it's like, hey, do you want to do this today? Yeah, sure, why not, you know?
Yeah, so it's a fun process.
Instead of actually setting up a friggin' time at a studio, and then trying to get to know somebody well enough to where you can feel like you, you know, can open up to them and throw ideas out at them, and then it's also in a set time. Like, you know, like you have 3 days to do this. Okay, cool. So I have to know this guy. I have to get to know this guy, get to know how he works. You know, it's just, it's a lot more convenient and a lot better to just, yeah, like what you said, just, you know, hang out.
And
talk about stuff. How should we do this? You know, like should we change this part? And just more of a relaxed situation, which is awesome. Which, you know, you get the best quality and the best product out of actually recording among friends.
Yeah.
It's fun too, 'cause we're at a lake, so.
That's
yeah,
the best.
Yeah. Really cool spot to be
hey,
at.
Hey, you guys want a break? Let's go on the
it was, like, it was really really comfortable, organic process.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, like, even though we've only been in a band together for, like, 2 years or whatever, we've all, like, known each other for, like, very long
right.
time.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's very comfortable.
Yep.
You guys layer a lot of it, or was it, like, how you guys, like, kind of going with drum and bass? And
we kind of did. I mean, some of it we played together. Like, I think we started with drums, guitar, and vocals, and kind of did that together. And then went back and redid some of the vocals and added more layers of guitar. So we kind of did it together at first to kind of make the foundation, and kind of went over it again after that. And
some parts we kept, some parts we didn't.
Like,
but the thing was, is what I loved about, especially recording with Chris, is like we drew a whole, like instead of like chopping parts in. Well, like, it, for instance, if I don't like a track that I do, like, we just redo the entire thing over again. So it's all, like every part that we did was pretty much one go, whether it was, you know, the first time or the 20th time, but it was all done in one shot. We didn't ever do, like, copy and paste kind of deal,
right.
Which is, it feels more organic that way, even though you're still doing the track-by-track way, but, I mean...
Yeah, so kind of both, really.
Yeah.
Best of both worlds.
Right. What, is there, anything you would have done differently, or anything you learned along the way that really stood out?
We cut an entire song from it because as we played it more at practice, it just continually sounded better live than it did when we had recorded it.
Right.
And just different, too.
Yeah.
We kind of amped it up a little bit over time. It evolved.
It did definitely evolve. And, like, when we recorded it, it was very new. It was, like, what? Like, maybe we practiced it maybe, like, 5 or 6 times. And then we're like, let's put this on the record.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was new and it felt cool. And then we did, and it... Since we've been playing it live and playing it, like, out and turning it into this... It's still the same song, it just has a lot more dynamic to it now, so we just decided to scrap it all together because, you know, the one that we recorded ended up sounding just way too plain.
Yeah.
It doesn't represent the way the song truly sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the great thing about our group is that, like, we will wait to, like, we're not one of those guys that just like, hey, I wrote this last week, here we go, and play it. We run it by each other and we change it and evolve it, and don't usually when we write a song we don't play it out for months usually until it's like something that we actually enjoy playing and like it feels right. So
I think that's, I've heard stories like, you know, I listen to a lot of Stern Show and a lot of these my favorite, you know, rock and roll stars go on there and they tell these stories, and like they've shared stories about like going into the studio and it's like the last day in there and they're like kind of crunch time, and then they like just wrote this last song. I think like one of them like was like it was a Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young song or something.
Okay.
I'm blanking on the name now, but like which one it was, but it was like they like wrote it last minute, it went on the track or went on the record and become like one of their biggest hits, and it's like it's just nuts to think about. Like, yeah, okay, here's a song. Okay, let's go ahead and cut it. They ran it through, like, one time in the studio, and then, like, it's, like, it's just, like, weird to think that that's, like, yeah, how easy it was for some, you know, sometimes, and then it turns out, I know that's a rarity, like, to where, you know.
I feel like we still probably could have recorded it. It was good. It was good.
Right.
Like, it just wasn't, like, and I know a lot of bands do that live, too. You know, like, you'll hear the recording of the song, and then, like, years later, you'll hear them play it live, and it's very different, like, right. You know, like a completely different monster all in itself. Sure. It's still good, and it's cool to see that dynamic, you know, come through. But I mean, like,
it's probably a good move though. Like I say, and save it for we got for the next record and stuff too. Give you a chance to.
And by the way,
the one that we recorded sounds more like a demo of what we have right now,
right? Yeah.
Which all the other songs we played so long to where none of them sound like demos on the album,
right?
Yeah, I mean, all the songs we've tweaked still, honestly, like within the last 8 months or whatever since we actually recorded it. But I mean, like, you know, they're all tweaked a little bit to where, you know, live is a little bit more interesting, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that one just changed so much, sure. I suppose, to where it's just like, I don't know, it just felt right just to cut it, honestly, yeah. Just because we weren't happy with it.
Yeah. So. Let's talk about Further. This is track one, starting the record off.
Super old song.
Probably one of the first ones
that you learned.
I joined playing ukulele
and then played the ukulele, didn't you?
Much kept the same melody from the ukulele to
just
the guitar.
Turned it to guitar, yeah. Yeah, this band's made a lot of progress. A lot of like, he started out like I. We rekindled our relationship at a Domino's. Remember that? I was working as a delivery driver at Domino's, and like, he popped in. I'm like, oh my god, Travis, what's up? And then he started talking about, oh, it's playing a lot of uke, a lot of banjo. I'm like, that's freaking cool as hell. And I told him to come to practice, and then yeah, he started playing the songs that he plays now with either a uke or a banjo. And honestly, you still played banjo for one song for a long, even
Making
when you
hands,
were still Chris.
Making
mm-hmm.
Hands
you were still,
was a lot of banjo.
I feel like it wasn't sure. Making Hands though. I feel like it was. Anyway.
So that was the first song you learned?
I think so.
Because it was just
Vince and Kevin, Further was my favorite song.
Yep, I remember that too.
That was my favorite song. That was what got me interested. And like going to their
wasn't
show.
That the show that we brought you up and had you play the tambourine?
No, that was like my third or fourth show that I went to.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. I thought that. But yeah, that was initially when I was like, all right, because Kevin, it was going away for the summer.
You used to play.
And
you guys used to play at the coffee shop a lot.
Some rocks and some steaks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Noodle. Yeah, but But yeah, so Kevin went away for like pretty much a whole summer.
2 months.
And yeah, and I was like, well, I'm drummerless. And then the show right before he left, we had Nick come up on tambourine, and just it was just a tambourine, you know. But he played the fuck out of that tambourine, and I was like, well, shit. And you know, his old band Ancient Kodama, which, by the way, they're starting up again, which is awesome. Sorry. That's a spoiler. Anyway, yeah, they actually played our CD release show, the first one, when I was still pretty much by myself. And so I knew he was awesome. But anyway, he played the fuck out of the tambourine, yeah. So, Kevin was just like, peaced out for a little bit, and I was like, hey, Nick, you wanna play some music? And yeah, that's how that song started.
Yeah.
Was him just jamming out in my living room / bedroom. I had to pull every time any of them came over, I had to pull out my entire bed and put it in the kitchen.
Oh.
It was sad. It was tiny.
Cool
house.
Little house.
It was a cool little house, yeah. Yeah.
The kitchen and a bedroom.
That's right, literally just a kitchen and a bedroom / living room that was just as big as the kitchen, mind you. So it was like, both the rooms were like 10 by 10, and then it had a bathroom going off of it, and that was the house.
It sounded so loud.
Your feet in my shoes, pulling out of your pockets for the rhythm and blues. La ba da. ba-ba-da-ba. You can break my bones if you wanted to. You could hold me close, I don't mind, it's true. Falling in your arms, stretching out my neck, reaching further. I need to talk to you. I wanna make a bet. I better follow through. La-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. I'm begging for your love. I'm reaching out to you. I'm begging for your love. Begging for your love. Falling in your
hardwood floors. Pretty much, there was no reverberation.
I feel like
it was so weird playing there.
I feel like
you
could fit the length of that house in the length of this basement.
Yeah.
Oh, you definitely could. You could fit the house in pretty much this room right here. It was tiny.
Yeah. I was gonna
maybe 4 feet. Maybe four feet.
Not
even
all of the band room.
About a quarter of the band room, and that's pretty much that was my house. Yeah. Hey, $400 a month. You can't beat that. Oh my. Okay.
Yeah. So did anything like when you guys were taking these, when we started recording these, like, was there certain things when you started recording and then you, like, they evolved from the way you guys were playing them live? Or is there anything, like, or was it pretty much you guys went in there and just cut it straight? I mean, or did you tweak anything?
Oh, there was a lot of...
Yeah,
there was
definitely
a lot
tweak
of,
everything.
Yeah.
Not everything, but you kind of get to the point where you want everything to be... It kind of makes you focus on everything a little bit harder.
Sure.
So I feel like in a way it's really good because it makes you kind of perfect parts of songs that you were never totally sure about, or, you know, maybe went back and forth on, which is kind of cool. I think that even helps you play live after the fact too, because it kind of helps solidify what you're
right
playing. And obviously, since you have it on the album, you kind of want to play live that way anyway. So,
yeah.
But it kind of makes you focus on every part a lot more. So I think it kind of forced you to evolve certain things.
Did any particular track you think take the biggest change?
I know I made a part for Gone at Chris's apartment whenever I was recording my part of the song. The little lead line after the choruses. It just felt like really empty what I was doing while I was recording it, so we stopped. I figured a little more out of it, and we started going from there.
Yeah.
You
made up a solo for one of the songs in Chris's.
I think that was
right.
I think that was
that High and Dry?
Loud one.
Yeah.
High and Dry I wrote at my place.
Oh, yeah. No, with the solo.
The solo.
Oh,
I remember we were playing it one way at the tavern. And then I was like, I don't want to do it like that. I'm not playing.
The office?
Yeah, that's what it was.
One of them bars. We didn't have a practice space for a while, so I convinced one of the owners that a bar that I frequent to have us practice there on Monday nights, and they were fine with it. It was funny because like people would be like, play Freebird, play this. I'm like, dude, we are practicing. And then we would stop in the middle of a song and people would be like, what the hell? They're like, no dude, we're just practicing, stop. Yeah, we're not actually playing for you, go away. It was awkward.
Yeah, it was kind of cool, but it was kind of not cool.
Exactly, because people could hear all of what we were trying to do. It was the biggest thing. It's just
half the time they had no clue what we were doing. Like, they just thought there was a band there playing music
and stopping.
And then they would, but they would hear us play a song, you know, that we were like writing, and it would be.
And then all of a sudden, someone would play like
eight times in a row. You know, eight times in a row, and they'd just be like,
"Yep,
the fuck's wrong with these
people?" Yeah,
so they didn't know that they're at a band practice,
right?
Because they're in a bar.
Yeah,
they're just hanging out, playing pool. Drinking.
Luckily, there was only like eight people there at a time. But regardless, it was just like these people are just like probably looking at us, just like, "What the fuck? They just they just played the song three times in a row."
Yeah.
Swear to God, I just heard this song.
Yeah. you mentioned Freebird. And Sean Cannon, voodoo players, play every Wednesday at Oyster Bar. Mm-hmm. And they're doing a night of Lynyrd Skynyrd and Marshall Tucker Band. Mm. And,
nice.
And I'm like, I was joking with them, like, since they're actually playing Skynyrd, I was like, what's the over and under how many times somebody yells out Freebird in the night? Like, I mean, like, I'm just going to start taking tally and, like, it's going to happen, like, every song. Like, just,
probably. Yeah. Someone
will. But, I mean, it's going to be a wild night, but I'm excited about it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
There's a band of, like, 13-year-olds that played at a battle of band. They played Freebird, and that was, like, the best performance of it I've ever seen. I've never seen Skynyrd live.
I think Chris Stapleton did that one night. Like, somebody yelled it out, and then they, like, played, like, the full 13-minute version of it or whatever. And, like,
that's cool.
So... hey, you want to hear it go? I'm like,
that's a good,
cool.
I wanted to just be like, yeah, fuck you, all right,
Now you're stuck here.
Yeah.
You asked for it.
You're stuck in Freebird land for 13 minutes. You ain't going nowhere.
You guys have any of those pull out for live shows and some covers?
We have a few.
Yeah.
Every once in a while we play
Travis knows every cover song.
He does. Yeah. He's pretty good.
I like me cover songs.
He's the karaoke.
Rocksmith.
I play a video game that teaches me a bunch of songs from other bands.
That's actually really fun. Like, pretty much about half the time I come over to Travis's house, we play that game. It's fun. You get to play with an automated band or whatever, but I mean, like,
it's just like Guitar Hero, but you're actually plugging We've played
Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, I'm on Fire.
Yeah,
it's a lot different. There's no synth whatsoever, and it's a lot more rocky.
Yeah.
I suppose.
It's
but
that's our cover song.
Yeah,
that's pretty much
that's
the
main one. Our only cover.
We
got a couple others.
We play Violent Femmes every now and then. Yeah.
We opened the Jazz Fest with
what is it called?
Blister in the Sun.
There you go.
Yeah.
It went really well.
We did halfway through. Nick's just like, all right, fuck it, because like we weren't trying to play it.
They were playing it and I was just like literally still setting up.
And then all of a sudden Nick drops in with a halftime beat.
I was setting up my drums and they were like playing this song and they just like actually started really getting into it. They just kept on playing. I think they played like two verses before I came in. And I came in at the very end.
After
the
quiet part of the song where he starts whispering.
Yeah.
And I'm so strong.
And then Nick
let me go. And then
right at the last chorus.
Like fucking, that sounded like Sugar Were Going Down.
I turned it
into
like a halftime breakdown basically. And people were really caught off guard. And it made a lot of people come back inside. Yeah. People were outside smoking and shit, and they came back inside. They were like, whoa.
It was a cool way to finish it, because it was not
intended. Cool, yeah. Like I said, we were just fucking around, and it was like we were like one of the last bands to play, and we were all kind of tipsy, and we're just like fucking around, and just all of a sudden Nick actually joins, and then it just kind of happened.
It was a very loose performance. Everybody was very loose.
Somebody told me that that song was about masturbating. Is that true?
I thought it was about. Okay, it so apparently the leaks.
We were filling ourselves.
I actually read about that. Big hands, I know you're the one.
Big hands, I know you're the one.
Big hands, I know you're the one. That's actually a. Sheets. Yeah, well, the song is actually about him liking this girl that was a lot taller and bigger than him. And they always used to joke about, or she always used to joke about him having small hands. And that turned into a line in the song. It's about her, apparently. I don't know, I read a thing on it. But anyway.
I saw those guys a while back at the pageant, man. That was an awesome show. Like they're a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet.
That they had like it was just like guitar and then like a
standard
like,
bass.
Yeah, like a well, like a, they had like a some kind of like a snare, like but like it was like a steel drum kind of deal. I don't know.
Okay.
Some kind of deal like that, and then like but they had like somebody like on this like. Barry sax, but like it was like the biggest Barry sax I've ever seen. Like,
like the ones that like go down to the floor.
Yeah, it had like it had like its own stand. Like, and then like it was like they had like go upstairs to like play it. Like, like it
was, what?
Like, yeah, it was like this thing was huge. Like, I don't know, it was 10 foot probably, you know, something like that.
Wow.
Like, so they had like stand on a little riser thing.
That's huge.
I don't know what it was, but it was a huge saxophone, that's for sure.
Damn.
But anyway, it was a fun show. But yeah, it was fun to sing along, you know, Add Up and Blister in the Sun and all those American songs and all that stuff. Like
all those American songs.
Well, isn't that our American music? That's one of their songs, American Music.
Oh, I see. I understand now. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like,
all another hits. Yeah. Here Comes Your Man.
But it was a good show. That was fun. So, do you guys get to do any of that stuff? Like, go to concerts together as a group? Like, is there any particular bands you guys all like to watch?
One?
Yeah.
I know me and Travis and a couple other people are going down to Kansas City in a few months to go see Manchester Orchestra and the Front Bottoms, and I'm pretty excited about that one. By the way, y'all are more than welcome.
Time seeing Manchester Orchestra.
Yeah. My second time seeing Manchester, my third time seeing Front Bottoms, but they're goddamn.
First time seeing Front Bottoms.
Oh, they're so good. They're so good live. God damn. Like they're kind of shitty anyway. Purposefully shitty. Like, they're, like, super sarcastic is what it is. It's, like, it's still good, though. But, like, they, like, emphasize on that live, and it's fucking perfect. Because some of the, you know, those bands that you, like, will look at the person that you're at the show with and just, like, sarcastically sing certain lines. It's like they do that live. You know, it's awesome.
See, I didn't care for Manchester Orchestra's most recent album, but
I liked it. It was super different.
The last thing he did before that was he did the entire soundtrack to Swiss Army Man, that movie with Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano where Harry Potter played a dead body on an island.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah.
The whole movie was a cappella music done by the lead singer of Manchester.
That. That's so cool.
So much better than the album that he put out afterwards.
They're very like later brand new-ish.
Yeah.
So, and then they came out with this new album, and they actually played one of the songs on The Point. It was called, what was it called?
It wasn't The Alien. I don't know. All of the songs had the
gold. The gold.
Yeah.
And the one's like, you believe that was crazy. Yeah. Anyways.
It was okay.
No, but I listened to their whole album, and it's all kind of like that. It's very, it's a lot more played down than the rest of their stuff they do. I like it. Same thing with Jessica hated that the new album by the Wonder Years. I like it
I
too.
I don't listen to them that much.
Oh man, whatever. Anyway,
that's what's fun about records and I don't know. Like, there's a lot of stuff like that people are like love, and I'm just like I don't get it. Like, and then like I'll, but I have my own things. But then like, exactly. It's also kind of fun too. Like when I listen to a record, and I'm like, nah, not for me. And then like I you know, revisit it later on, like a year later or something. All of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, I'll give it another try. And then all of a sudden, it clicks for me. Like,
yeah,
that,
you love it. Yeah, it just depends on where you're at in your life. Right. You know, like what you're into. Not even what you're into sometimes. Just like
sometimes you can't relate.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my big thing. Like, I always, like, it doesn't matter what the lyrics are or what the music is. Honestly, it could be fucking country. I don't give a shit. If I can relate to that music and I can actually, you know, vibe with the lyrics, that's all I care about.
For sure. So. Yeah, man. Well, let's drop in one more tune in here. We got another one for you called Gone. And this appears as track 7.
Yeah, so...
Is there anything...
Not really. That one was... it was about my ex. We were together for... Yeah, here we go. Shut up. We were together for a really long time, and it was just like kind of just like a breakup song pretty much. But it's really good. The harmonies in that one particularly... were worked on for quite a while, and I think we finally perfected it, and yeah, it's really pretty. Started out as like, I wanted the part where we were harmonizing at the beginning, I wanted that part to actually be done by a guitar, but it ended up sounding really weird, so I started like ad-libbing it at practice, like just the, like the parts that the guitar was supposed to play, I started ad-libbing it, and then it kind of turned into something that was actually harmonizing vocals, which is kind of cool. So
yeah. Stuff like I learned you know, I was talking again about CERN show and stuff, and like I learned like Steven Tyler, like a lot of the stuff that he writes, like his lyrics don't make sense because he just starts like
ad-libbing,
like just like humming along with the melodies and stuff, and saying,
how often do we do that?
And says Randy.
That's how all of our songs start now. Like, we have like 3 in the progress that are pretty much completely done, but I don't have lyrics for them. So it was just like me just going la 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 pretty much like the whole time. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, we know the direction where it's supposed to go. Right. I just don't have.
Yeah, he just drops in filler words in there, and like that's how he writes
a lot. Kind of like how Pearl Jam does.
That's how he writes a lot of his songs. Yeah,
yeah,
it works.
Yeah. That was actually a thing that I heard a couple of years back about.
Oh yeah,
Yellow Ledbetter. Yeah, Yellow Ledbetter from Pearl Jam. They ended up having lyrics for it later, but when they actually recorded the song, Eddie Vedder actually just ad-libbed words. Like, there's a couple of actual lines in there, but it was just all done on the fly, and they ended up keeping that recording of it. And so, like, those the reason you can't understand what the hell he's saying is because he's not saying anything. Which is pretty
cool. I hear a lot of people, and I try not to, I think I tried to read about it once, but everybody, you know how everybody gets on about different songs, like, you know, ripping people off or whatever, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But, like, there's, I think it's, no, not that one. Let me see if I can find it real quick. But there's, nope. There's a.
Are you talking about like how Tom Petty's "Won't Back Down" and Sam Smith's "Stay by Me" or "Stay with Me" are like the same?
Yeah, there's like all kinds of like.
Oh my God! Stay with, won't back down. That's fantastic.
They had to like pick settlements for that.
Yeah.
Let me let's see if I can find it.
Was it, isn't Danny California?
Ooh, what's it? What
Mary
is it?
Jane.
Is yep.
Danny California, what? What is
last
it?
Last Days with Mary Jane.
Oh, you know what? I feel like in those situations, it's just like somebody else wrote that song for him, and they sold it to like 2 different people. Seriously.
Well, yeah, really, but that one, that's like a 20-year difference.
But there is a difference. Some people do steal shit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times where it could be coincidental.
But it could have been the songwriter that stole it, because those are all like, ooh, we don't write our
that
songs
song
anymore.
That song we were working
those
on.
Those kind of artists.
Yeah.
That song that we were working on last week for like 5 minutes, Kevin instantly was like, that's a Flaming Lips.
Yeah, that's
song.
A Flaming Lips song. Well, yeah.
And it's not guarantee even like a popular one. It's,
do you think that if we continue with that? And yeah, exactly. It's just like sometimes
that's
you. Yeah. And it was very different, so we probably still could do that, because obviously I'm not going to sing the same or
I get you, but I done heard it.
Yeah. You do it instantly, and I'm not arguing.
Right,
it didn't
exactly.
Sound like it.
Something needs to change.
I mean, you know,
sometimes
like,
there's only so many combinations of chords you can.
Exactly, and that's the problem. That's always been my thing, like someone would be like, that sounds like this song. It's like, dude, eventually all the chords will be used in this in certain ways.
Jeff
like,
Rio, but
to where it what?
Jeff Rio, but
Jeff Rio.
No, that's too close.
No, I'm not even talking about that anymore. I'm
just
talking
in general.
About it in general, yeah.
I had my last band
give it 20 more years, and then everybody will be like, if on at least on one instrument will have played and recorded something along the lines of another song.
Oh, definitely.
I'm pretty sure it's already happened.
But that was way too close, man.
Dude, I'm not trying to do this. Trying to play that song.
Give it up.
Shut up.
Back when Luke and I were in Her Violet Eyes, we had this one song that ended up just being Billy Squier's The Stroke. I cannot remember what the song was called, but the main riff was just in drop D, and it went like dun 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 dun, and then somebody came up at like one of the older people at the Creepy Crawl, and I was like, Dude, that's the same riff as the Strata.
It's like the whole vanilla ice and that Queen thing.
I remember that song.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called though. It's like Vampires or something.
Man, I just saw Vanilla Ice. So.
Yeah. I know, I saw that. I'm jealous, honestly.
It was pretty awesome, really. Yeah. he did Ninja Rap with Michelangelo, yeah. Which was, what more do you need, man?
Oh, yeah. Go Ninja.
If you have a Ninja Turtle out there, like...
That's fantastic.
That's all you need.
Oh, my God.
Childhood things.
Yeah.
Seriously. And not arguably, but I don't think so. Those Ninja Turtle movies, the live action ones, were so good. I feel like they couldn't, like, even the new Ninja Turtle movies, honestly, just because they were directed by, what's his name? The dude that did
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay, yeah. Like, that was kind of, and then they're all of a sudden, they were like aliens or something.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I haven't seen it, but what? I have heard that that's the case.
The first Michael Bay Ninja Turtles movie.
TMNT? Yeah.
Pretty weird.
No, not that one.
That was like the Pixar CGI.
I like that one, actually.
Aren't they like CGI and stuff?
They haven't worn suits since the 90s animated, or the 90s live action.
Yeah, those were, the originals were fun. With, didn't Corey Feldman voice one or something?
Yeah, he was Mikey.
Yeah.
I believe. I might be wrong.
They're getting ready to, I mean, this is kind of unrelated, but they're getting ready to do a Space Jam next year, like another one.
Really?
And I don't know if that's one that requires a, like, I think the Looney Tunes have enough potential to where they could try a different idea than
I liked Back in Action.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's actually really good, and
speaking of that Vanilla Ice and stuff though, Coolio was also there, and he did his verse from Hit 'Em High. From the Space Jam soundtrack.
Yes. Did he do his All That? Because that would have been hilarious.
No, he didn't. He didn't do all. They only did the open. Ice had like an hour set, but everybody else had like 25-minute set or something, or 20 minutes, whatever. So they only did like 3 or 4 songs, and Coolio did See You When I Get There, 1, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. Gangsta's Paradise, of course.
Obviously.
And then Hit 'Em High, and I think he maybe something else in there, but because Hit 'Em High, he only did like his verse instead of the whole song. So
it's weird how rappers do that now. I went to a rapper show, a hip hop show, probably about a year. No, it was probably about. Anyways, it was Hopkins and Jaron Benton. You were?
Yeah.
You know who was the other guy that played? He was like a.
I got that a little
Dizzy. Dizzy Wright. Dizzy Wright.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like Dizzy Wright.
I went there, and Hobson obviously did about an hour, maybe a little bit longer, honestly. And then all the rest of them just would do, like, a verse. Like, they wouldn't do the whole song. They would start the beat, play the verse, like, a minute and a half, and then be done. And then, like, they would just play their... Instead of playing the whole song, like, you would think a concert would go, you know, like each person would show up. If it's a multiple person song, they would show up and do their parts. But no, they would literally just do their part of the song, and that's it. It's weird.
Yeah. It's odd. Yeah, I mean, for Coolio's sake, that kind of made sense. But yeah, I've seen it in other, like you're saying, in other settings, and it's like, I don't know. I just want to hear the whole song, not just playing a minute of it or whatever. And,
yeah, it throws you off.
So, yeah.
Like waiting for the rest.
Right. Yeah. Well, again, we got the big party, Foam, on November 2nd. Come out and party with your boys. Yeah, Morning Mountain.
I believe we're starting at 8. We're just going to say it's 8. I haven't really talked to anything about that, but pretty sure we have free rein on that day. So
Yeah.
Show starts at 8. Randy's play at 8:30, most likely, and then us, and then whoever decides to close for us. So we'll figure out the next couple of days, and that'll be on our social media too, which is just facebook.com/morningmtn.
And they got the Instagram also. And
mm-hmm. Same thing at Morning MTM. Yeah.
Yeah. What? So what's next? I mean, we got this record. We got the release party. I mean, are we want to do some music videos or get on the road?
Most
or
likely. What's there's definitely going to be a music video soonish.
Yeah.
We're kind of still talking to a few different like I don't know if I want to call it directors, but a few people that are. Trying to do something about it. We're still trying to figure out which song.
Yeah.
We have an idea for the video, but not really which song to do mm-hmm. yet, I suppose. But yeah, there will definitely be that. Next year, next summer, we're hopefully going to do like a Midwest tour. Probably just, honestly, just about a week or something like that, just to kind of, you know, hit the big cities, do a few smaller shows, you know, just to kind of get our name out there a little bit more than just St. Louis.
Sure. And
so.
Yeah, man.
That's our next moves, most likely.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then eventually start working on another record probably fairly soon. Hopefully it won't take as long as the last one does. So.
Right.
Yeah, we got about four or five.
We've already got four or five new songs that we've already been messing around with, and maybe more, honestly, so.
I did hear the other day, speaking of tours, that Kiss is going on a farewell tour.
Yes.
For Peter Criss going to be in it?
I'm not sure the lineup, but
I heard Ace Frehley is almost a definite.
Yeah, but
man, it needs Peter.
But they said it's going to be a 3-year tour, and I was like,
oh, damn.
Who the hell goes on tour for 3 years?
Oh, my God, those are one last 6 to 8 months, something like that.
But, yeah, it's pretty intense.
To hit everywhere.
Yep.
In the world.
Well, yeah.
I wonder if they'll make it.
Yeah.
These guys are kind of old.
Yeah.
Nah.
I tell you though, man, I saw them years ago.
Gene Simmons' tongue shriveled up.
I saw them years ago, and it was like the most rock and roll thing I've ever seen. Like, I mean, some people talk shit about them or whatever, but like,
I
mean, it was like, so the pyro, the Gene did like a blood gargling bass solo from the rafters. Yeah. And at the end of the night, they all like shattered their guitars and walked off stage, and like, and it was like
that's super punk rock.
Yeah, it was rock and roll. Yeah,
that's
so
nice.
It was fun. It was a fun night.
Some of my first memories is sitting in my Batman tent watching Kiss and the Phantom in the Park. You know,
still got that Batman tent.
No, not anymore.
Why not?
No. That was years ago, and nope.
There's a mini Kiss.
Oh yeah.
Mini Kiss is awesome.
They were one of the house bands at Beach Goth a few years ago. Yeah.
Beach Goth. That was the one with the growlers, right?
Yes.
Do they still do that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right on.
Yep. Alright, guys. Well, again, join us November 2nd, Foam. Pick up a copy of the debut record from Morning Mountain. And,
oh, by the way, if y'all actually come, we'll have a special deal for you. So, why not? Yeah. So, that's it.
Special deal.
I can't remember what it was exactly.
But it has to do
with... It has to do with buying things and,
well, that was discounts. What Spillcan is.
I know. But, this is why I immediately regretted what I just said. But if you're hearing this and you ask about it, there might still be a deal. There's gonna be a deal.
Yep.
Wheeling and dealing.
A special deal if you heard this podcast.
Hey, there you go. That's a good one. Ask about it.
All right. Well, thank you guys. This has been a lot of fun. Getting to catch up, getting to hang out. And I will see you all very soon.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Adios.
Bye.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.